Him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. That's the essential of the Christian. We must have a testimony. We must be willing to confess Christ before men. The Lord taught us not to put our light under a bushel. We're not to hide our light. We're to shout it from the housetops. And he warns, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's a bit like what Timothy wrote, or Paul wrote to Timothy. And then verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Yes, he is the Prince of Peace, and he reconciles sinners to a holy God. But there is going to be this division between the righteous and the wicked.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you are encouraged in the Lord, that you're pressing on in the Savior's love in this early part of the new year, and that day by day that you will spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, and that you will have a close walk with God. Today our ministry again is on the book of Revelation, and this is a fantastic book to meditate upon, to know that the Lord deals with us personally. Think of those seven letters to the seven churches and how the Lord takes note of our works, of our mistakes, our sins, and he brings specific messages. And when you go to the Bible and spend time in the Lord's Word, you will find that the Lord will speak to your heart. He will have a word for you that will be specific concerning your own life and your own walk. And I pray that the Lord will indeed work that in your heart. Would you join with me in a moment's prayer just to ask the Lord to speak to your soul today? Father, we thank thee for the promises that we have in your word. And you've promised here in Revelation 1:3 that as we read, as we hear, and as we obey thy word, that there will be a blessing for doing so. And we desire thy blessing, O God, above everything else in life. Nothing in this world is equal to the blessing of God. Not riches, not fame, not all the comforts of this life can replace the presence, the nearness of the Lord ministering to our souls. And so I pray for each hearer today that you will draw near, that you will comfort hearts, heal those that are sick, help those that are cast down, provide for those that are struggling financially, and with the cares of life, grant that thou wilt display your grace and your care. You've told us to cast all our care upon thee, because you care for us. And so we commit our ways to thee today, and ask that thou wilt, by thy gracious Spirit, minister in power to each heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. So please open your Bible today to Revelation chapter 1, and to the third verse, where the Lord promises, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And I pray that this will be the day when God in grace will meet with you and bless you richly.
We ought to count it a privilege to suffer for Christ. Now, I want to take you back to verse 1, where the word servant comes up. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Now, that word servant is the Greek word douloi, which means bond slave. Slaves that are treated as worthless, they have no rights, they have no appeal, they are just bond slaves. And here is the term given to us tonight, a bond slave. We're not here to gripe and complain, but we are to praise God that we may earn a testimony for Christ. Now, it's not salvation. If this was a gospel meeting where there were a lot of unconverted people, I would switch this around and say, this is not you, because you're not serving Christ. You're serving sin. you're serving the world. But this Revelation 1:1 is referring to those who are faithful servants of the Lord Jesus, and they are called to suffer. Now, this was written and happened in the first century, but it has happened each century down through the history of the Lord's church. There have been martyrs, Christians persecuted, men and women who have had to leave home and country, refugees. Think of the days of John Calvin when Geneva became a hub for refugees, people who were fleeing for their lives from persecution. Europe was a mass of turmoil because of persecution. When you read of the 30 years war between European countries, all over different battles, of course, but it left refugees in their thousands. Today, we have refugees fleeing home and country, and some of them for Christ. And the Lord is raising up a testimony through those who are willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus. You see, the attitude of the true Christian is not how much ease will I gain, but rather, how can I have a testimony to stand and honor the Lord Jesus? Now, the Lord Jesus gives us many promises in the Bible for those who suffer for him. And I want to take the time tonight to look at a good number of verses. Don't weary, don't get distracted, but I want you to notice how much of the Scripture is given to this issue of you and me enduring hardship for the Lord Jesus. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 firstly. Romans 8 and verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Now, this is Paul writing to the Christians at Rome. There was the amphitheater, there was the center of political power, and Paul himself was later arrested, put into house arrest. The Jews in that area had been kicked out of the city. There was not a lot of religious tolerance in Rome. And so he's saying to these Christians at Rome that you are children, heirs, joint heirs, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And another text where it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 2:12. Now, you might want to mark these verses. You might want to write them down. So I'm giving you them here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. This would be, again, in the first century, but it was Timothy. Now, we think of Timothy as not so combative, not so controversial, but in his day and in his ministry, he had to mention the sufferings of Christians. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Two key verses. But I want to also go to the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, 32. Matthew 10, 32. And we see how the Lord prepared his disciples for times of persecution, times of horrible opposition, and spoke to them very clearly that to confess the Lord Jesus before men will bring trouble. Let's look at Matthew 10, 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. That's the essential of the Christian. We must have a testimony. We must be willing to confess Christ before men. The Lord taught us not to put our light under a bushel. We're not to hide our light. We're to shout it from the housetops. And he warns, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's a bit like what Timothy wrote, or Paul wrote to Timothy. And then verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Yes, he is the Prince of Peace, and he reconciles sinners to a holy God. But there is going to be this division between the righteous and the wicked, between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, or the seed of Christ. And there's going to be enmity between those two entities. In verse 35, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. And that's hard. When you have enemies within your own household who despise you for your Christian stand, that gets very difficult. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me, and he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And so there's the ministry of compassion and pity to those that are troubled and persecuted for Jesus' sake. And it's all about having a testimony for the Lord Jesus. Now, the thing that strikes me as significant, how much of the New Testament, how much of the ministry of the Lord Jesus was preparing Christians for persecution. And we must not miss that. We must not think that to be a Christian is going to be free from such troubles and trials. We must not think that we will get to a stage in this world before Christ returns when the world will become friendly toward the church and the Lord Jesus himself. The Savior also said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And when we get now to Revelation 1:3, I'm going right back there. Revelation 1:3, what are we told? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And if we take hope, take heart, maintain a testimony for the Lord, then we have the Lord's blessing. And that's the ultimate goal. That's our object living as a Christian. So there will be blessing in our hope for the Lord, blessing in our testimony. There will also be blessing of godly worship, godly worship. As I mentioned, the book of Revelation really is the book of song and worship. We get sights into the heavens, to the elders, the living creatures, the saints gathered around the throne, worshiping the Lamb day and night. And from this book of Revelation, we learn, firstly, what titles we should use in our address of the Lord. Now, I'll not look at them all tonight, but in the book of Revelation, there are 36 key titles that are given to the Lord. There's eight of them here in chapter 1. Jesus Christ in verse 1, the faithful witness, verse 5, first begotten of the dead, verse 5, prince of the kings of the earth, verse 5, Alpha and Omega, verse 8 to 13, first and last, Son of Man, verse 13, and He that liveth and was dead, verse 13 and 18. Now, when we write our songbook, when we lift up our voices to the Lord in heaven, those are the names, those are the titles that we must use in worshiping and addressing the Lord Jesus. And from this book of Revelation, we also learn what form to use and what terms to use in worship. For example, verse 5 is a doxology. And you read here, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His blood. All the theme of the blood in the book of Revelation is very strong. Let's take a minute to look at chapter 5, 9. Here we have the saints worshiping, and they are worshiping, using, and emphasizing the blood of the Lord Jesus. Revelation 5, verse 9. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And as you go right down that chapter, you learn how to worship. You learn what you are to give praises for. And don't miss the blood. We must not miss the blood in our praying, in our singing, and in our preaching, because that is the worship that exalts the Lord. We also learn in this book that how to pray. In Revelation 5, 8, go back one verse there. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And so in this book, we learn how to pray. And it is our worship book, our song book. And prayer, of course, is the lifeline of the saint. It is the natural part of our worship to cry out unto the Lord. And we learn it here in this book, as in no other. I can't think of another part of the New Testament in particular. Now, the book of Psalms is very helpful in worship. It is key to worship. But the book of Revelation gives us sights and understandings how to worship God that we don't get elsewhere. And this is vital to our prayer life, our praises, how to sing, what to sing, and the things that are right and bring glory unto the Lord. The last blessing tonight is fellowship, the blessing of godly fellowship. Let's go back to Revelation 1:9. And here you have this testimony of John. And he says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. There's fellowship among the saints. He is a brother, and he's a companion with those that are in some form of tribulation. John may have been exiled in body to that lonely island in Patmos, but his heart was with his brethren. His fellowship was still with the saints wherever they were found. He was knit to them. He knew of their sufferings. He knew of their struggles. And he could say that he was a companion in tribulation. Maybe we can say that tonight. And as we come together to worship and to pray, we encourage one another. That's what we do in our prayer meetings. We pray one for another and hold up one another. We're companions. So we have this fellowship with the saints. You'll notice too that in verse 10, that John's fellowship was with the Lord on the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And that was the day for worship. and John was seeking the Lord, and the Lord was ministering to him. He had fellowship with his Lord, even on that lonely, rocky island in exile. Anywhere with Jesus, I can go, when we have the Lord with us. And isn't it significant that it was on the Lord's Day? That's one of the reasons why, if you check the bulletin, that my five pointers to godly living and growth in grace is keep the Lord's Day. And I am totally convinced the Christian who commits to keeping one day in seven, for us it's the first day of the week, unto the Lord for spiritual things, they will have fellowship with God. They'll be under the means of grace. They will be with the saints. They will be a part of the church. They will have their shoulder to the wheel. They will be fully engaged and fully involved. And there will be blessing in store for those that keep the Lord's Day. Now, when you go down to verse 13, you will see that there is blessing of fellowship with Christ in the midst of the seven candlesticks. There is Christ himself. He is with us. What a great picture. Now, you know the menorah, the seven-branch lamp that was the picture of the church. And we don't have to interpret this, because the end of chapter 1 tells us that the seven stars are the angels or the ministers of the seven churches, and the seven golden candlesticks, they are the churches. So the scripture interprets this for us. But the Lord is in the midst of his church. This is fellowship. And as we read this book, as we hear the Lord's voice in this book, as we commit ourselves to keep these things, we will enjoy fellowship with Christ. That's the blessing that is promised as we give ourselves to this book. And so I trust that for each of us, as we study this book of Revelation, that it will get sweeter and sweeter along the way. And we will know more and more of the nearness and the communion of our living Lord Jesus, right in the midst with us. He has not departed his believing people. And where people love his word, they will find Christ. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will. And the Lord is with us. So come to prayer meeting on Wednesday and tell us how the Lord witnessed and blessed you. Let us hear your praises in prayer, and let us enter into this communion and blessed fellowship that we find right here promised to us. Let's claim it and rejoice in it.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you have been encouraged through this message in the book of Revelation. We have learned here that Revelation is very much the book of worship for the saints, and we learn of how the Lord is worshipped in glory by the angels and by the saints, as they gather around the throne day and night, we learn that they sing the songs of Zion. And we also noted that they worship by the blood. I cannot emphasize enough that our worship in our church, in our personal devotions, should always emphasize the blood of the Lord Jesus, because he is revealed to us here in this book of Revelation as the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And that refers to God's infinite mercy to sinners. Before there was a plan of redemption, God set apart his Son to be the Savior, and of course that would lead him to the cross, where he would bleed, suffer, and die for our salvation. And it is in the blood that we find atonement, we find access to the Father, and that our worship counts. Worship without the atoning blood does not count. God will not accept any worship, any offering, apart from the blood-stained blood of his own Son. And so we learn this lesson, and let us take it to heart, because we're living in days when the message of the blood of Christ is either neglected or rejected. And if you are going to be a true worshiper of God, you need to be personally pleading the blood of Jesus every time you pray, every time we worship in song. We need hymns that are filled with references to the atoning blood and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. Let us be done with these modern ditties that are subjective, that are focused on the feelings of men, and do not get to the crosswork of the Lord Jesus. We need to ever approach God on the merits of Jesus by the victory of his death and his blood. That's the lesson that we learn here in the book of Revelation. And I hope that you will return and join with us again as we bring this message to you. And so may the Lord graciously write this upon your heart and make it a blessing to you. Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak today as we brought to you the message of the gospel, God's precious word from the Free Presbyterian Church, 4020 Balsam Road, Prince George. We invite you to our Sunday services, 10:30 and 2 p.m. each Lord's Day. We have some very wonderful news, and that is the arrival of our new pastor, Reverend Andrew Simpson. He and his wife Naomi have just arrived in the city of Prince George, and today and each Sunday they will be ministering in the church, 10:30 and 2 p.m. Would you come along and encourage them? Would you pray for this young preacher of the gospel? He believes in the book, he believes in the blood, and he will preach the blessed hope of the gospel. And so as he commences his ministry here in our church, we invite you along to join in, and may you be blessed, encouraged, and we look forward to God working through his servant in the city of Prince George in the weeks and years to come. May the Lord bless you and your home. May the Lord answer prayer. May the blessing, the peace, the power of God be at work in your life. If you wish to be in contact with us here, you can contact me at 604-576-1091. Shortly we will have more contact information for the Reverend Simpson, that you may contact him directly. So thank you for being a part of the program today, and I trust that you'll join us each Sunday at this time here on this station and at our services at the Free Presbyterian Church in Prince George, 10:30 and 2 p.m. each Sunday.